Lesson number 7 in our series on biblical metaphors is kind of a follow-up from last week. Last week's lesson was about the sheep and the shepherd, and tonight we're going to talk about a sheep in Christ's care. If you will, let's look at verse number 27 of John 10. Just kind of jump to the end of the text, and we're going to be in various passages, so have your Bible ready. Verse 27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So we know, based on last week's lesson, and we know based on life, that sheep have a special relationship with their shepherd. First, there is dependence. Dependence is the part of the sheep on to the shepherd. They're dependent upon the shepherd. Then there is dependability, and that's the part that the shepherd needs to be. So the sheep are dependent on the shepherd, but the shepherd needs to be dependable. We know that when we think of the shepherd, our great shepherd, we know that he is always dependable. He is never failing. So last week, we studied the characteristics of sheep primarily. We looked at the characteristics of sheep. Well, tonight, we're going to focus on the sheep and his relationship to the shepherd. Let's turn over now to the gospel according to Matthew chapter 18. And we're going to see, in the by way of introduction here, that the shepherd is concerned about every sheep individually. It's not just that Jesus says, we have the Anchor Baptist Church flock, and I'm concerned about the whole church flock. Well, true, that's true, but he's also concerned about one little Filipino sheep down here. And one Korean sheep over here, Canadian Korean, right? Okay. And all of you out there, we got an international group of sheep here today, okay? But we all speak one language, right? Anyway, sorry. Anyway, okay. My wife's not here and I'm already out of control. All right, Matthew 18, verse number 11. "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye? If a man have 100 sheep and one," maybe you want to circle that word in your Bible or underline it, one, not 100, don't circle that, praise God for the 100, "but one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, the lost sheep, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep." So he's having a celebration over one, not over 99. Interesting. "Then of the 99 which went not astray. Even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of his little ones should perish." So God is concerned about every one. And you're part of that one. If you're saved tonight, you're in the fold. Praise God for that. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, we won't turn there, but it says there, that great shepherd of the sheep. That great shepherd of the sheep. Number one in the outline is coming to the shepherd. Coming to the shepherd. We all know there are different people in this world, and sometimes there's people that we don't really want to be around. Pardon me for just a second. We don't want to be around them because of their spirit that they have. Thank you. Maybe they complain a lot. Maybe they're critical a lot. Just things like that. You know, it's kind of hard sometimes. And we're all, if we're not careful, we all could have that type of thing. Then there's the other side of the spectrum where we want to be around certain people because when we leave their presence, they've encouraged us. They've edified us. You know, maybe they've had to challenge us a little bit, but there's been something productive happen. Well, Jesus was that one. That when Jesus came to town, people showed up. When Jesus came to town, people were there and even followed him. And we know that he had, of course, his 12 disciples, but then he had all those followers. Maybe they were there for the wrong reason, but Jesus was like this. He drew people to him everywhere he went. And also we find in his life, if you've read the Gospels, you've noticed this, Jesus was approachable. That's really something we need to pray about in our life. God, help me to be approachable. Help me to be someone that somebody would come to and say, "Can you pray with me about this?" Within, you know, I mean, within our age group, maybe If you're a teenager, you don't want constantly adults, you know, doing that, but not that it would be wrong, but I'm just saying we want to be approachable, that people would feel comfortable coming to us. That's exactly who Jesus was. We learned during the revival about the leper that came right to Jesus. Again, Brother Chauvin was teaching us about that, Luke's Gospel chapter number 5, and the leper came to him. The Bible says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus said, I will be thou clean. And Jesus touched the leprous man. Again, for him to touch him, he had to be close. So he had to be, Jesus had to be approachable, even to a leper. I mean, what an amazing illustration that is. And that is. And yet, even in 2026, the arms of the shepherd are open. He's willing to save the vilest sinner. One of our songs talks about that. Make the vilest sinner clean. And tonight we're not pointing and saying we're not one. We are one too. We're sinners. But his arms are open tonight. He's approachable. May God help us in that way. So first, we've got to come to the shepherd, letter A, for salvation. We cannot go really further until we do that. So tonight I ask you, have you ever been saved? Do you know for sure if you died today, you would go to heaven? The only way to be saved is through Jesus Christ. In fact, this is the greatest need anyone ever has in their life, is salvation. Before you got saved, that was your greatest need. If you're saved tonight, you don't have that great need. We still have needs in our life. But you know, we know people in our circle that are lost. Their greatest need is not physical. Their greatest need is spiritual. Their greatest need is Christ. Yes, we want to help people that have great needs physically, but that's not the greatest need. We've got to think of it that way. John 10:7, then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. How do we get saved today? Same way. The door, the sheep, the door for the sheepfold is Jesus. And shall go in and out and find pasture. Notice he said, I am, he did not say, I am a door. He said, I am the door. It's kind of like John 14:6. Many of you have put that to memory, right? The way, the truth, the life. Those are important words in the Bible. Every word has value, and it's important in the Bible. So Jesus is not one way. Jesus is the only way. And again, we have different religions in our world that they will add a God to their list and they'll just stack it up and they'll have another God. And sometimes they'll even think, well, I can just add Jesus to my list of gods. No, that's not how it works. He is the only way. Amen. So we must come to Jesus for salvation. Yes, I mean, even in our humble abode up here tonight, there's more than one door to get out of here. In fact, there's multiple doors to leave this room. In fact, there's four doors to get out of this one room. But that's not the way it is with salvation. One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside. On which side are you? That's a great little Sunday school song. Jesus is the door. By me, if ye enter in, ye shall be saved. So we must come to him for salvation. Another great verse, Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. None other name. No other name. You can't list any name. No, not even all the important names in the Bible. Moses and Joshua and David and Solomon and all these. And Paul and all these. Peter and Philip. Great, great names, we might say. And there are a lot of ladies that we could do that for too. But no, there's only one name. The name of Jesus Christ. This is the only name. This isn't something that we came up with in 2001 when Anchor Baptist Church started. All of a sudden, we came up with something. No, we've just been repeating what was given to us from the Word of God. May we always do that. So the Scripture's not it's not a gray area. This is not a gray area. 1 John 5:11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, lived a sinless life 33 years. Jesus Christ died on an old rugged cross that we might be saved. Praise God for that. We must come to him for salvation. Next, we must come to him for strength. Sheep are dependent on their shepherd for everything. right? We might say sheep are dumb. Sorry, okay? They need the shepherd for everything. So you know what? So do I. And here's what Jesus said about it. Without me, ye can do some things. No, that's not what he said. You can do a few things. No, that's not what he said. It's a whole different world when you read that verse, John 15:5. At the end of the verse, Jesus said, well, at the beginning, he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. By the way, that's not the emphasis for tonight, but I want to bear much fruit for God, don't you? I want to bear much fruit. We got to realize we can't do it, though, without him, because then right after that he says, for without me, you can't bear much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. Not even a little bit, not something, not a little mite. No, he says, without me, you can do nothing. Philippians chapter 3, let's turn over there. Philippians chapter 3, of course, written by the Apostle Paul, one time very religious man but lost, one time doing all kinds of work, quote unquote, for God, killing Christians for God, thought he was just all that and a slice of bread, but then he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and everything changed. Again, Jesus, that's the difference. Paul said this in verse 4 of chapter 3, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust the flesh, I more. Paul says, I have a resume. You know what a resume is, right? Well, Paul had a religious resume bigger than anybody's in this room. He had it. I'm not talking about relationship. I'm talking about religious. Okay, and then he says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching a law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal. Here it is, verse 6, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is of the law, and blameless. He said, I have all these things on my resume, but that doesn't get it done. And God, Jesus, gave Paul something to remind him that he needed him. And we're going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about it when I go to pray for me, by the way, at this men's retreat, by the way. I've been asked to preach one of the sessions, and I've been preparing for a couple of weeks already, and part of it's going to be about Paul's thorn in the flesh. I've been asked to preach on, difficult times and living for God in difficult times, hardships. That's the key word. Staying faithful in hardships. And I don't know that I have anything to say apart from the Word of God, but help me, pray for me about that if you would. But I was looking at that actually today in some of my time about this thorn. Paul writes about it in 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. He said he was given a thorn in the flesh. Satan buffeted him. He said, the reason why God did that is so that I would not be exalted above measure. Again, because he said in Philippians, he said, I was just everything there you could say about it. But Paul was told that the grace of God would be sufficient. Paul needed God's strength. And again, we might say he was a pretty godly man. Post-salvation, surrendered to the Lord, used of God in many, many ways. Probably the number one person mentioned in churches around the world on a Sunday might be Jesus and then Paul, if you kept track of it, you know, if you could do that one day, one Sunday. Those two names might be the most listed. I don't know for sure. I just thought of that, okay? But if he needed strength in the Lord, I know I do. I love what Isaiah said, right, about but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. We've all been weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wow. That's the promise of God. We can have strength from Him. We find our strength in the Lord. And then even thinking about the Lord Jesus right at the end, right? He needed the strength as He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he was in prayer, and an angel came and ministered on him. He was still in his human body. He was suffering. He was agonizing. And what did he need? He needed strength. He needed help. You could find that in Luke chapter 22, verse 42, and saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Okay, this is Jesus Christ. God's son needed an angel to come and strengthen him. Boy, if he needed it, I need it. If he needed it, you need it. Matthew chapter 11, come unto me, all you that labor are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I like those words. Easy and light. That does not describe most of our life because we try to carry it. Jesus said, I can be your strength if you just trade with me. Trade with me. Anyway, coming to the shepherd, number one. Number two, following the shepherd. Again, getting saved is great. But how about following the shepherd? That's the key. We've been talking a lot about this. Would you turn to Psalm 100? Psalm 100. There's a lot of, we're going to, really from now to the end of the lesson, we're going to be almost back to Sunday morning. And you'll see why in a little bit. Psalm 100, by the way, a great psalm to meditate on from time to time. And there's lots of them, of course. 150, if you lost count, but 150. But here's 100. Verse 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. Notice, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You know what this tells me? He not only owns the sheep, he owns the pasture. So he knows where to lead us. If he's the owner of the pasture, he made the pasture, okay? And he's the owner of the sheep. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you are bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He owns me. He owns the sheep, but he also owns the pasture. So I can trust him. I can follow him with my life. He's dependable. God delights in guiding. God delights in guiding. Psalm 78:52. But made his own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He delights in guiding. As we follow him, letter A, we will hear his voice. Again, we've talked a little bit about this last week, how sheep are drawn to the shepherd's voice. They know the shepherd's voice over the stranger voice. Now, think about this in 2026 today, living in this world. There's a lot of voices out there. Yeah, I'm not trying to be spooky, all right? About that, seriously, in a sense, you can call them voices that are speaking to me and you. So we've got to be able to distinguish, is this God or is this the world, the flesh, the devil? Because all three of those voices can be a part of our life any given day. It could be me just wanting to do something. And if I'm not following the shepherd, I might think I'm following and going the right way because I'm just following right along, but I'm following the wrong voice. But to the shepherd, if I can zero in on that right frequency, and how does it come? It always comes through the word of God. Because God will never lead us contrary to his word. God will always lead us by his word. The only counsel that is guaranteed to work is the counsel of God. That's why when someone asks me for counsel, I'm going to do my best to say, okay, let's go to the Word of God on this topic. Let's see what the Word of God says. And if I don't know the answer right away, I'll say, you know what, let me get back to you. And I'm not going to search AI. I'm going to search a B-I-B-L-E. Why? Because the Bible is foolproof. It never fails. It's right every time. Not 9 out of 10, 9.5 out of 10, 9.9.9999 out of 10. It's 10 out of 10. If it could be 11 out of 10, it'd be 11 out of 10, okay? If you could do that. So the Bible's dependable. I've got to hear God's voice through the Word of God. It is the counsel that is guaranteed. Now, think about this. I don't know if you've ever seen a herd of sheep. I guess you call them a herd of sheep, okay? I don't think this has ever happened. I didn't look this up, but I don't think any sheep that are in that herd are on a leash. If you see that, let me know. I'd love to see the picture. Right? They're not cats or dogs or whatever else you could take on a leash. Sheep don't have a leash. How are they led? By the shepherd and his voice. They have to be willing, though, to follow the voice. So this hearing God in the inner man begins with a willing heart. Everybody here tonight that are saved, you still have a free will to listen to whatever you want to listen to and whoever you want to listen to. But if could I just implore you, don't even listen to yourself. You shouldn't, to be honest with you, hopefully you can take this right, I would never trust myself. Because in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. That's why I don't trust myself. But you know, I do trust God's word. I trust the principles in the word of God to eliminate what I want to do and put what God wants to do in my life. So it's got to come from a willing heart. A sheep has a choice to follow the voice of the shepherd or figure out their own deal in life. You know, Elijah talked about this. Let's go to 1 Kings 19. You remember this, how Elijah was in this cave. Elijah had seen a lot of great things happen, but now he is all alone in a cave in Mount Horeb, right? And, you know, maybe it didn't look very good. You know, he got the poochy lip disease and said he was the only one left, verse 10. You know, I'm the only one left. Woe is me. Eeyore syndrome. And verse 11, 1 Kings 19, 11, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by in a great and strong wind, rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake. The Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. The Lord was not in the fire. But notice this. After the fire, a still small voice. Beginning of verse 13. And it was so when Elijah heard it. So he was listening. He heard the still small voice in the midst of all of this thunder and fire and cracking and all that, the mountain breaking in pieces and the rocks. God said, I'm speaking through a still small voice. And when Elijah heard that, that's when he came out of the cave. Not when all the other lights and everything was going on. So let's be willing to listen for the still small voice in our life. Again, I said earlier, this voice it lines up with the word of God. Can I give you just four things? I don't think you have them, and maybe you want to jot them down here, with relation to being guided and directed for a particular area in life. Number one, read and study God's word on that topic, on that area, searching for something. Read and study God's word. Depending on what it got a decision to make, something like that. Get counsel from the Word of God. Number two, listen carefully when you're at church. It's amazing how God will speak through the preacher, the announcements, a song, a hymn. God will speak. That's why when the song service is going on, don't be looking around. Oh, like his church is going to be done in 45 minutes if pastor's on time today. I've got a really good lunch coming up. This and that and the other thing. And a lot of times we go through a song service, and I watch, again, when you're up here, you watch. I'm singing, but I'm watching. And can I just really try to help you a little bit? Sing. Sing when it's singing time. You say, but I can't sing. Just sing quietly. Okay. I know you might not want to scare the person beside you, but sing. God will speak to you through the words of these hymns. Thirdly, ask God for direction. Ask Him. And then number four, I put this last, seek godly counsel. I think you ought to do the first three. I'm saying this as a pastor, and I'm available, believe me. I want to help you. If you need help, I want to help you. But we're going to need help from the Bible. It's not me. But I really believe you ought to do these three first. And then seek godly counsel on whatever it may be. So hear His voice, letter A. Letter B, obey His commands. The shepherd has a different view than you or I have. That's for the sheep as well as for us as God's sheep. God can see and knows the best direction for our life. The prophet Isaiah said it this way in chapter 55, verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Then he said, verse 9, for the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. So obey what he says to do. When you're following 1, 2, 3, 4 of those steps that I just gave you, and when God is clearly saying, okay, this is the way, don't say, well, you know, I think I ought to keep checking around. No, go. Follow the leading of the Lord. You have the Holy Spirit in you. I have the Holy Spirit in me to lead us in the way that we should go. But it takes submission. Submission. The shepherd knows what is best for us, and I must submit myself in obedience to the shepherd. Jesus said it this way in Luke 6:46, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Really, isn't that the question of the hour for us to answer in our own lives? We call him Lord, but we're not willing to obey him, you know, on this particular area. John said in 1 John 1:6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Again, the word of God. Listen to the word of God even tonight. We're reading a lot of scripture tonight. James 1, I'm not going to read it. We just read it. We read it a few weeks ago. Doers of the word, not hearers only. You know, we talked about that man who looks in the mirror and forgets about what he saw. Let's not be that. Let's not be that. Let's obey. We are changed by the truth of God's word. It's not just, again, what it says, but it's are we allowing it to change us? It's powerful in and of itself, but are we letting it change us? Are we obeying what it says? That's the question of the hour. It would be foolish to come to the shepherd, to listen to his voice, but then not obey his leading. You know, I think about it, right? How many times do we hear the word of God preached in 1 year? Praise God, we have Bible preaching. I'm not talking about Pastor Turner. I'm just talking about we have Bible preaching. Praise God, we have that here. But it's not just to hear somebody for 40 minutes or 45 minutes or, you know, some that are very energetic, some that are a little more melancholy. That's not what it's not just about hearing it. We don't want to just hear all these sermons and lessons and even those of you that are in Faith Bible Institute and so forth and just taking all this in. And we got extra preaching this week. If you can be here Friday, extra preaching. But what about the application? This is what's important. That when we hear the shepherd, we're willing to obey what the shepherd is leading us to do. So we come to the shepherd, we follow the shepherd, and then lastly, we love the shepherd. And this really goes right into Sunday morning. We love the shepherd. Matthew 22, verse 35 to 38, the lawyer comes to the Lord Jesus. What is the greatest commandment? What is the greatest commandment? 37, Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Love for God is the foundation for being a disciple, an obedient sheep. Love for God, that's the foundation. Obviously, Jesus is the foundation for our salvation, right? I'm not talking about getting saved because we love God. No, to be a disciple, an obedient sheep, it starts with loving God. There's really no other start. Everything builds on that. So if it's crumbling tonight in your life or mine, we've got to go back to the basics. The first and greatest commandment, love God. Letter A, we love him by obeying. So what is the motive? What is the motive for doing right, Pastor, so that people think I'm a good Christian? No. Because you want the pastor to know? No. Our motive for doing right is that we love God. Honestly, if that's not your motive, it's going to be very difficult to love God for a lifetime. Because there's going to be a lot of disappointments because of people. Okay? I've disappointed you. You've disappointed me. Okay? If that's what we're basing everything on, then we're not going to last long. So we've got to keep our eyes on loving God. This is the foundation. I believe personally, the foundation, I think it's biblically, not just because I believe it, that it's the foundation for being the best sheep for the glory of God. but because we love the shepherd. We love the shepherd. It's like having a, you give the illustration here in the notes, you know, in the secular world, if you have a boss or a manager that's, well, every morning when he wakes up or she wakes up, it seems like they just, every day they come into work like they just, you know, they got up on the wrong side of the bed, as we say. You know, it's hard to work for somebody like that. I had a boss like that when I was working in the secular world, and boy, he was just mean. He wasn't saved, so he didn't know God. But then I had a lot of, I had other supervisors and people that I worked for that were much more pleasant. I loved being around them. You know, praise God that we have the great shepherd who is always lovable, and he loves us in spite of us. Wow. Our obedience to God and his word is evidence of our love for God. It's also evidence of our salvation. Obedient sheep prove that they're loyal to the shepherd. So part of my proof, it's not to be saved, but proving my salvation. 1 John 2:5, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected or matured. Hereby know we that we are in him. How do we know we are in him? Because we're obeying him. One of the main causes for a lack of eternal security in the life of believers is disobedience. Constant disobedience causes us to think, am I saved? All right? We're not unsaved because you can't get unsaved. But believe me, I've talked to numbers of people through the years that are struggling with eternal security because they're not walking with God. Again, we're not perfect. Nobody in this room is perfect. But I'm just saying they have a, it's not just an every now and then, it's all the time. They're just walking literally in the wrong direction. And so obviously that's going to happen. Here, John even says it. This is how we know we are in him, because we're keeping his word. Again, let the Bible speak, right? Then, letter B, we love him by loving others. I think we're getting an emphasis here at this church. This is God's church, by the way. We are all imperfect people. We have a perfect shepherd. Matthew 22:39, the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Loving God and loving others cannot be separated. They go hand in hand. You can't say, I love God, but then we never show love for our fellow man. It doesn't compute. It doesn't add up. Because if we love God, we love God because he first loved us, right? But because we love God, it's naturally going to be that we're going to love other people. Because it's not our love. It's God's love that we're using to love other people. Because you and I, we all know that even us, if we were to be honest with one another, there's times when it's hard to love one another. I'm talking about you and I here that I'm looking at right now. We'll say, yeah, it was hard to love him the other day. Hey, the pastor was just a little bit cranky. What was going on? Or did he not get enough coffee or what? Man, I'm telling you, he preached during the announcements. Just wait till the preaching. But that's not why we love one another. But it's hard to love us one another sometimes. We got to be willing to admit that. But I love you, and I hope you love me. I know you do. But because of God's love, not because of your love or my love. Because God is love. This is his divine nature, love, right? So we love God, and because we love God, we're going to love others. We show our love for God by loving others. It's kind of hard to show my love for God. Think about it. How can we show our love for God? I mean, there's ways, but when we love others, we are showing we love God. It's hard to, again, we cannot separate those two. 1 John 4:21, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. There's a great verse to mark down in your Bible. 1 John 4:21. 1 John 3:17. Of course, 1 John has a lot to do with love. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? How dwelleth the love of God in him? The love of God is beyond my comprehension. I cannot believe how much God loves me and has shown that to me. tonight, as we think about this lesson, to properly nurture the relationship with the shepherd, we must listen to his voice. Again, he guides us by his Spirit through his word. He will never guide us contrary. Listen to his voice and follow him in loving obedience. By doing so, he will help us to actively portray love to others. I'm so thankful we have a great shepherd. You know, I can't get the Oishi's video out of my mind. I'm sorry. I can't get it out of my mind. That couple, they are serving the shepherd. They're serving the shepherd. And they want to love the Japanese sheep. Amen. They're loving the shepherd first, but then they're saying, you can see it, you can see it. I mean, we're not in a video, it's hard, but you can see it. They're loving the shepherd, but they want that love to be loving the Japanese sheep. Praise God that we can love people in this community. Why? Because God loves us. We're following the shepherd. We're listening to the shepherd. We're following the shepherd, but then we're also loving the shepherd.